So this is not episode 300. And it's not episode 300 because I know at some point I've either doubled up episodes or I've missed a number or I've made a mistake, because that's just who I am. I have most likely made a mistake in my numbering system. At some point, I've changed websites, I've moved hosts and stuff, so there's no way this is accurate. But very technically, this is going to be labeled as episode 300. So, woo, boo, 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 boo. Something like that needs to happen right now. That's happened. We can move on, because numbers are arbitrary. I mean, they just happen. As long as I keep doing this, the number will continue to go up. But you are listening to Ninja News Japan, the world's number two Japanese news podcast, which is still a weird thing. Because again, the labeling of that is very specific. It's like having a Guinness Book of World Record for something that no one's ever tried before. If you get really specific, you can be number one. And that's important to keep in mind so that my head doesn't get big. We don't have to worry about that, because I knock myself down more than probably anybody else ever will. But let's get to the news in Japan. Like a ninja, we seek out the news. I've 300 episodes and I'm just trying to make the title make sense. So News Japan, yes, Ninja News Japan. We did it because it sounded good. That was really the only reason I came to that decision. Ninja News Japan has news, has Japan in the title. Off we go. Everyone knows what it's about. The ninja part, well, just add another syllable, basically. That makes it'll sound better. Da, 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 da. Ninja News Japan. So Japan, as a country, is going to update the English spelling of Japanese words. So when they use Romanji, Romanji is the English alphabet, so A, B, C, D, they have a system for the spelling. And the problem is the system they've been using up till now, if you read it phonetically as an English-speaking person, you don't make the right sounds. So that is called the Kunrei Shiki rules, and they're going to be changing to the Hepburn rules. I didn't have a chance to look into what the Hepburn rules are, but they are far, far more similar to the way, if I said a Japanese word, the way you would just naturally spell it out if you tried to spell it out. So currently, the prefecture of Aichi, if you spell it using the Kunrei Shiki rules, the old rules, you would spell it A-I-T-I. Now, I, as a native English speaker, would say Aichi. That's what I would read if I saw that on paper. It is going to be shifted to the Hepburn rules, which would spell it as A-I-C-H-I, Aichi, which is more phonetically similar to what the Japanese say. And it means if I read it as an English speaker off a piece of paper, I will be more likely to say the right sounds. The other one is Shibuya, so a very famous places. I'll just give you an example of what the rule change would actually mean. Currently, in official documents, it's spelled S-I-B-U-Y-A, Shibuya, where it should be S-H-I-B-U-Y-A, Shibuya. Official documents use this old system, but basically everyone else in the country uses the Hepburn rules, the more modern version of the rules that sounds better. It sounds more like what Japanese people say. It sounds more like what foreigners would say. It's a very weird system. It's almost like one of those things where someone decided on a set of rules. This is a very Japanese thing to me. They decided on a set of rules, and because they set the rules, they just didn't change it. They just kept it going for years, even though it's clearly wrong, clearly doesn't work very well. We're sticking to the rules because we made those rules, and those are the rules, and you have to follow the rules. That's the rules. Signage will be updated. Government documents are going to be updated. Everything's going to start using these new rules. Let's say you're an assembly member, and you have a political party that comes to you, and they want to ban sexy photo shoots at pools. Now, these are basically public pools, so everyone gets to use them. So you can understand the sexy bathing suits, which hardly cover anything at all. The lavacious posing might, you know, get some people up. Like, didn't mean it that way. I meant get people, like, get their back up like a cat, like they're angry, but I want to get people up. Sort of a double entendre, unintentional there. Please enjoy the unintended double entendres, which I apparently do a lot more than I think. I think the way I speak now is just naturally double entendre. So you do it. I'm going to ban sexy photo shoots in public pools. And then from there, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have like a safe, healthy environment for people to go swimming. Now I'm going to go home. I'm going to do what I like to do. And what I like to do is go home and take sexy pictures of an acquaintance that I have and post them to public bulletin board. So on the internet. Bulletin boards, internet bulletin boards are already sort of an outdated thing. And they, to me, are the remnant of the creepiest aspects of the internet. Because when you talk about bulletin boards, I only think of 4chan. I think of those kind of places. And that's where all the worst bits of the internet sort of coagulate. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean? Like they gather and they sort of simmer and they kind of fester together in these places. Bulletin boards, I don't know what these pictures look like. They were sexual in nature. They may have just been sexy poses, but it wasn't his place to really put them on the internet. So you've basically taken, this is a classic, is you've taken a moral stance in your political life, and then in your personal life, you go and do the exact opposite. So you're like, I'm against sexy photo shoots, but I'm very pro sexy photos going on the internet, so much so that I'm going to do it myself. The hypocrisy is enough that there was an independent investigation. What are you going to do? You decide to quit. So this assembly member just quit, saying they've lost the public trust. 100% yes. But also you've demonstrated you don't believe the things you're actually putting forward in politics. And this is an interesting question. I'm a politician. I'm supposed to represent the people. Now, my beliefs are obviously why those people put me into this position. But also, let's say the majority of people have an opinion I personally disagree with. Should I do that thing? So that's always an interesting question, because a true politician's opinions would not be their own opinions. It would be the opinions of the people they represent. So if the people they represent want something, you could do it. But then maybe I, in my personal life, live a completely opposite life. I don't think that should be as big a problem if you're honest about it. If you're like, hey, I really like sexy photos, so much so that I post sexy photos on internet bulletin boards. But the people have said they don't want sexy photo shoots at public pools. I'm going to shut that down. If you were honest about it and direct, I think there wouldn't be a problem. But the fact is, you're trying to hide this shadow life that you have and pretend you disapprove of sexy photo shoots when you really are one step away from participating in some factor. You're promoting, at least, sexy photo shoots. Or the alternative, politicians should just stay off the internet. Okay, remember last week we talked about 99 Ginan. So Ginan's the city, the mayor of the city. He got in trouble for sexual harassment, 99 cases. I focused on the fact that he had physically touched women's boobs and butts. Boobs and butts was kind of like the moving phrase throughout that story. It actually has sparked a different conversation in Japan, which is very interesting to me, because in Japan, they started talking about, is head pats sexual harassment? So any touch that is unwelcome, I think probably is a form of sexual harassment, because the touch is unwelcome. You shouldn't be touching people. Don't touch people. That's actually pretty safe. At work, do not touch people. And if you do that, you're going to be pretty safe. So don't touch anyone. So the head pat is supposed to be innocent, but it is certainly demeaning in some way. This came up. The mayor of Ginan said, in our generation, now this is something he actually said in his own defense last time, his generation. So he's basically trying to say that in my time, it was acceptable. You could sexually harass everybody and everyone was cool with it. He was told by a person of a similar age of his generation not to do it, and he laughed it off. And then you can go back to last week's episode and catch some of the ASMR of me going, ah, ha, 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 hey, buddy, that kind of stuff. He said, in our generation, it was common to pat the head of children who did well or worked hard. Now, the operative word in that sentence, I believe, is children, because this is from an adult to a child. So if I am an adult patting another adult's head, I am clearly demeaning them, even though I might be trying to imply they've done a good job. But I think for him, because he's such a gross human being, and no mistake, he is a very gross human being. I think for him, the actual thing is that he's trying to push boundaries. He's trying to say, like, does she react negatively to me touching her head? If she doesn't, then I'm going to go for something else. He didn't interpret the signals correctly anyways, and always went ahead and did whatever he wanted. That's why he has 99 sexual harassment cases on him. But it was interesting, the focus of the Japanese internet was, here's a gray area. And most people were like, no, basically, you shouldn't be touching anybody at work, which I fundamentally agree with. I don't think you should be touching people at work. There's a different mayor. the mayor. So we went through a massive trend on Engine News Japan for like an entire year. It was people, men, 50 years plus, doing just the most insane, gross sexual things. And that was their final story of the day. Seems like the last little while, the mayors have caught fire. I'm assuming they're all in their plus 50s, but the fact that they're all, it's a mayor group, makes it kind of interesting in itself. A different mayor was also accused of sexual harassment. He had department and division heads walk out of the room where he was about to speak. So what they're having like a meeting of the mayoral staff. Initially, three questions were directed to the deputy mayor. So everyone's kind of ignoring him. The fourth question asked the mayor about a policy issue. Seven people got up and left because they're like, we don't like what this guy's done. He shouldn't be mayor. We're not going to even listen to him. We're going to pretend he doesn't exist. So he got the cold shoulder from everyone. The mayor, and I do enjoy this. This is one of those like desperation moves where in the moment you're like, this is going to work. This is going to be the golden ticket that gets me out of this trouble that I'm in. And I'm going to play the victim. The mayor claims he is a victim of harassment, which is a new one I had never heard before. So I love new phrases being coined. Harassment is brand new to me. I don't think it's a thing. So he's basically saying, because I have been accused of sexual harassment or power harassment or any kind of harassment, that now people seem to think it's acceptable to harass me back and treat me poorly. So the underlying message he's actually saying is like, even if I have committed harassment, you should still treat me nicely. You should still be nice to me. Because if you're saying it's not nice to harass people, then you should not harass me back. So he's actually saying this is a very much cake and eat it too situation. I should be able to harass people, but people should still be nice to me. And the fact that people are not being nice to me because I harass people is unacceptable, which is such a load of bullshit. It's a very politics-oriented way of thinking. But I'm betting he thought in the moment, he's like, if I claim to be harassed by the people who accused me of harassing, therefore, those two things, they're negatives, they cancel each other out. There is no more harassment. He's claiming that harassment is subordinates harassing their supervisors because they now consider it acceptable. Which, again, just a load of bullshit coming out of a politician's mouth. Not a big surprise. Student of an elementary school. This was a massive story this week because the numbers are so big when it actually gets to the end of it. A student at an elementary school. So we're talking little kids. He was scammed out of 930,000 yen, so almost 1 million yen, by a classmate who sold him medals and banknotes saying they would increase in value over time. So when you go to a lot of tourist places in Japan, you can have a little medal made, usually 500 yen, and it'll stamp it and spit it out. And the kid had one of those. And he's like, I'll sell you this gold coin, which will increase in value over time. And the kid like agreed to it. He said, I have a banknote made of plastic. It also will increase in value over time. It was a Canadian, I think, $10 note. And he was selling this to these kids. The coin he sold, which cost 500 yen, for 360,000 yen. And there were 8 transactions over time in the school where the kid was buying stuff from these classmates. These classmates were essentially bullying him at first for being poor. And he said, I have 1 million yen from what he's done is saved up his New Year's money for years and years and years. And he accumulated 1 million yen. The mistake there is he had access to it so that he could do this. He'd given 900,000 yen away. He went to his dad. He said, you know, it must have broke him. He went to his dad and he said, I've given all of my classmates all this money. I think they're taking advantage of me. I don't think this stuff is worth anything. The father calls the police. The police contact the parents. He's gotten apologies and 250,000 yen back, but 250,000 yen is essentially just a quarter of the money he's lost that those other kids still have. I, as a parent, have no idea what I've done in this situation. Like, I certainly would have given all the kids' money back, no question. It's just, how do you punish your kids for scamming other kids? Like, it's one of those things like bullying and stuff. When it happens, it's almost like it's inconceivable that it happened. That's the weird part to me. But yeah, you got to be careful. Because kids, I guess, if they learn to scam. What happened to me, I put myself in this situation. I was in grade 6 or 7. And this other kid, his name was Kirk. And he said to me that he could sell me a butterfly knife. Butterfly knives are illegal in Canada. But he said he could get me one if I gave him, I think it was $5 or $10. So that was like, you know, a big chunk of change for a kid in grade 6. But I really wanted a butterfly. It's so lucky I didn't get this, because there are only two results of me having a butterfly knife. It would have been me practicing and cutting off a finger, or me actually stabbing someone because I lost my temper because I was such a wild child. So he took the $10 and he said, I'll give it to you next week. And then the next week went by, and then another week went by, and I went, hey, Kirk, you know, you took money from me to give me a butterfly knife. You better give me my money back or the butterfly knife. And he was just looking at me like, well, what are you going to do? I can't go to my parents or the teachers and tell them that I attempted to buy an illegal weapon and give him money. So I had to just suck up that loss. And I still, to this day, how many years later? Like 40 years later, still remember the frustration and pain and the sense of loss that I'd gotten myself into. There's nothing I could do about it. So, I mean, kudos to Kirk for getting me in that situation and taking me for dinner. But, you know, also, I didn't fall for that scam twice. But yeah, man, I still want that butterfly knife. Gion is an area that was famous for geisha. And people have like a image of geisha from anime and movies and stuff, because in those they make them very sexual. Geisha traditionally are entertainers. They'll tell stories. They will play musical instruments. They'll perform for you. They'll do dances, this kind of stuff. It's just entertainment. The sex stuff came from the guys wanting to have sex with this person who was a very engaging personality. And they're very charming. It's kind of their job. So it's sort of like a dual play here where they're not prostitutes, but if you can get into a right situation, maybe they'll have sex with you, and that involves you spending a lot of time with them. You spend a lot of time with them, that's going to cost a lot of money. Is this prostitution? Whatever, you can go into that for a long time. We're not going to get into that too deeply today, but the average geisha walking around Kyoto is not a prostitute. Let's just put that out there right now. They are doing a job, and that job is to learn and study different arts and then perform those arts on behalf of customers. Tourists seem to think that they're like paid employees of the city that can basically be abused. So they have people will just grab them and start taking pictures with them. They don't ask if it's okay to take pictures first. I mean, these are private individuals. You shouldn't be just taking pictures of them. They don't ask. They just run up and take a picture together. Sometimes they'll grab them and like pull them into a position, which is assault in Japan. So you can't do that. The geisha are complaining. The city's like, we don't know what to do. There's these small alleys, and that's where the geisha, you know, work, and they come out of there. And people are going in there, and it puts them in this very uncomfortable situation. So they're actually going to ban tourists from being able to go down into those like little alleys where the geisha like study and work and learn and stuff. This is going to happen from April. And the city representative said, we don't want to do this, but we are desperate. So there have been some complaints. One of the geisha said like she was grabbed while walking down the street and actually tore her kimono. Kimonos, real ones, are super expensive. They're like literally millions of yen to buy a kimono. Lately, Japan's been very concerned about over-tourism, and they've been putting on sort of restrictions. Since COVID restrictions were lifted, Japan is now putting other restrictions on tourism. So now I think you have to pay 2,000 yen if you want to climb up Mount Fuji, because too many people were climbing up and they weren't taking care of their garbage. So like, we have to pay people to literally pick up garbage. Well, we're not going to absorb that cost. The tourists can absorb that cost. They can pay to go up the mountain. Private individual citizens in Japan walking around the city don't feel safe because foreign people feel like perfectly comfortable walking up and grabbing them. That can't happen anymore. The city's actually going to they haven't explained like what the punishment's going to be. They're going to put up signs saying like, tourists are not allowed to walk down here. But how do you enforce that in a free society is actually the problem. There might be fines, something like that. But it will give at least the geisha some recourse. Because they can say, you're not supposed to be here. I can now call the police and have you removed. Maybe that kind of thing. But it's a little sad because just means like people are coming to Japan and not behaving well. We've done a lot of stories on people not behaving well. So they should do one where they ban the mayors of cities, because those guys apparently are the grossest people in Japan.